The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And we are live.
While we get the tweets and stuff going, I'll apologize to everyone who's been sitting there, you know, patiently, just ready to celebrate, ready to hear what we've got to say. But I was having laptop issues, guys. What can I tell you? Not everything in showbiz runs that smooth. And we are at the tip, you know, the tip of the arrow of showbiz. This is, you know, it's really highbrow, high concept entertainment that these guys get to consume. So when you have technical issues like that, it ruins everyone's day. That's all I can say.
It does, but you're here now. It's a great day for you. It's a great day for you. I'm surprised that you don't have a beer in your hand.
Mate, I'm on NA beers, non-alcoholic beers, which I think are a real touch, actually, because...
All the calories, no the fun.
Yeah, and none of the hangovers as well, though. So it's kind of like, which they're starting to take more and more of a toll these days. So I'm kind of like, when you want to get a little bit frisky, but you don't want to pay the bill, that's when you get involved in the little blue label Heinekens. Guilty.
I just don't. It's the calories in them that does me. So I'm having none of the fun, but I'm still getting maximum calorific hit on the waistline.
Well, that kind of is true. But what gets me about it is if you drink non-alcoholic beers, right, I defy anyone to get through two, maybe three of them, you know, before you go, oh, that's enough for me. Quite gaseous. You know, a nice taste, but I feel like I've been sucking on a 2p coin. I don't need to go any further down this rabbit hole. I'm calling it a day. When you're on the actual beers, freeze when you're getting started. Do you know what I mean? Oh, this could turn into something, you know? Get me, mate, on the blower. Where are we off to tonight? I've still got it. But, you know, with these non-alcoholic beers, you know that you haven't got it anymore. There's no, you're not kidding yourself. Oh, I still got it. No, I haven't. And I'm on the non-alcoholic beers, and it's just right enough for me to enjoy it without it getting too wild.
I think the worst thing that happened in the pandemic was it normalized drinking beers on your own, because there was no joy for 2 years other than trying a different type of beer, and I have struggled to shake that just drinking beer all the time.
I know what you mean. It did facilitate that a lot more, the kind of lonesome, you know, day drinking at your own house, and you're just kind of like, I've got nowhere else to go, so why not turn it up a bit? But it has kind of hung around a little bit, but that's why I'm on the non-alcoholic beers. Because when I get that kind of, oh yeah, I wouldn't mind having a little beer at home, non-alcoholic beers, a lot less guilt,
Okay, well, it's a healthy start to the show. Yes. It's a big day on the Arsenal front. This is the podcast that goes out on freemium through the summer. We've got our Patreon going. If you want to join the Patreon, you go to patreon.com and you type the Arsenal opinion in. You pledge what you like. And we've been rolling out the content. Johnny, we loved your top 25 players of the last 25 years. We got pretty jealous about it. We regrouped without you, and we tried to do our own one covering off the transfer window of 1997 to 1998 season, the prelude to Arsenal getting back to the big time. It was great going through the years. And, you know, my big thing, I can't stop thinking about it. Back in the day, you could be linked to anyone. I remember getting excited about William Caballero, who I don't think ever played a minute for Arsenal, but it was just pure joy. Anybody that came in the door, you were like, this is amazing. It's kind of transfer stories feel like they've taken a bit of a negative spin these days. Like, people put so much pressure on them. Everybody wants to be first to say that a player is shit. It's just not, it doesn't quite carry the same weight that it did when we were young whippersnappers getting our transfer stories from the back page of the newspaper, or if we were lucky, dialing into club call at 50 pence a minute. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, 100%. A couple of things. First of all, you mentioned it earlier. I am doing my top 25 players of the last 25 years at Arsenal. And for our Patreon members, they will know, they will have already seen numbers 25 through to 21. But tomorrow, I'll be dropping... Is it tomorrow? No, on Tuesday, I'll be dropping numbers 20 through to 16. And I tell you, I know this one's going to be a bit controversial. There's some players in that little band where there's going to be a few people with their noses put out of joint. But I've looked at it. I've tried to, as best as I can, create a formula to judge everyone equally. And some players are not necessarily where you might expect to see them in a top 25, because obviously it's over that 25-year period. In terms of what you were saying about where we get our transfer news from and stuff like that, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you don't want to be like, you know, just kind of glamorising the good old days and stuff like that in a way where we're not really embracing all the benefits of the interconnectivity that we currently get to enjoy. But there was a charm to finding out that you had a big player that was linked to your club and it was getting leaked via teletext and stuff. And you would get an excitement that was unabated, because I think we believed... We were a little bit more naive in a good way then. We actually believed all of these stories were going to come off. And I remember one year that Sky Sports phone in, I think Jim White was on the blower at one point, and I called in to make up a rumour that I'd seen Vincenzo Montella wandering around outside Highbury, because I genuinely wanted to create a butterfly effect where Arsene Wenger might have been sitting at home going, do you know what? I hadn't thought of Vincenzo Montella, but it'd be the perfect foil for me up front right now. So let me pull the trigger on that deal. And it didn't happen. But, you know, I tried my best to affect the overall outcome of Arsenal in those years. I couldn't do any more, Pete, quite frankly. I couldn't do anything
you,
more.
Listen, I guarantee that you had Robert Perez in your Championship Manager team, and you probably pronounced it Robert Pires for the first few years until someone corrected you when he joined Arsenal. Thierry Henry, I saw him early days. David Trezeguet, when he was linked to Arsenal, I was like, oh my God, I've been managing him for like 4 or 5 years. He's brilliant in the box. I didn't know this, but clubs use Championship Manager as a scouting tool because it's so well put together. So,
well, if that is the case, I'm surprised that Freddie Adu never really made it into the big leagues, because everyone knows if you sign Freddie Adu as soon as you get on the game, he rips it up as a young prodigy. And, you know, you go on to win Champions League and stuff. But Freddie was never given the opportunities that his Championship Manager profile, you know, should have garnered him. But what can you do at the end of the day? What can you do? I could never sign Raul, so I had to actually cheat one year because he had never come to me through the mechanics of the game, and I had to actually go into the coding and re-sign him for Arsenal. I mean, that's how deep
I used to recode it as well. Oh my word, the nerd side. I mean, you used to have to wait like 25 minutes between load windows. That's how slow computers were. Oh my word.
You know, I like the idea. I like the idea. I'm sure we're going to talk even more extensively, that there's a little kid out there playing Champ Manager who's just recoded it so that William Saliba comes back off loan and is happy with high morale. And if you did, kid, this time it worked. The butterfly effect has worked. So well done to you, because we have got a lot to talk about today.
We do have a lot to talk about. And I put a bit of effort into the slide. After I saw your slides that you rolled with last week, who knew that a comedian and TV personality knew his way around a slide deck? I did not know, and it embarrassed me. So I've been putting a little bit more effort into the slides. So we've got a nice slide deck for those that are watching on video today, because we have a packed show. So without further Freddie ado, let's get going. That's why you do the jokes. Mirror, you twist and turn my mind until I don't know who I am. Mirror Man. Good morning and welcome to a new edition of the Arsenal Opinion Podcast. It's a very special day for Johnny Cochran. William Saliba has spoke. He gave his decision and it is the decision that is going to delight the Saliba ultras and Arsenal fans all over the world. So we've got some special content around William Saliba. We're going to do shirt number 47 this week because there's a special player that had a shirt number 47 that I didn't realise. We're going to do our winners and losers at the end of the show. And we're going to talk about a couple of players that have been linked to Arsenal that are moistening the loins. So, Johnny, let's get straight into it. What is your hottest of takes this weekend? And then we will move on to the next bit. So, Johnny, hottest takes.
Well, I mean, unless you were trying to, well, you're going to take umbrage with this through a format point of view. Obviously, there's only one place to start. William has taken his time to commit, but it did feel like a big deal. There were various Arsenal bloggers out there who were chastening him, shooting him down, comparing him to a young LeBron James by, you know, almost diva-ish in the garnering of the spotlight to announce his decision, which, you know, was becoming fertile ground for all the Saliba detractors and haters out there. They were all sharpening their knives, waiting to lay into poor young William, as he says that, you know, he sees his future elsewhere. But no, he came out and he spoke affirmatively. He said, listen, I have been at this great club, he called this great club, for a couple of years, but I've not even played a game yet. And I tell you what, it'd be a travesty. And I am paraphrasing a bit, but, you know, he, let me translate it for you. It'd be a travesty if those wonderful fans don't get to see me at my best. And that is what I intend to do over the next couple of years. And I honestly believe it. Look, people have been on my Twitter as well, and they've been coming at me saying, look, let the guy play a game and that. And I said, you know what? All of those times that I've previously said about other scenarios, this is not a hill that I'm willing to die on. Well, this is a hill that I'm willing to die on. Saliba is the nuts and he's going to be fantastic for us. And barring injury, I think he's going to have a monster season for us. And I think he's going to be, if not the first name on the team sheet by the end of the year, certainly our first choice centre-half. And I think that it's a really, really exciting development for Gooners everywhere. Even the haters out there, I'm sure you'll be getting on the love train soon enough once he starts dropping those VVD performances. And I honestly think it could be an era-defining addition to the squad. That's how good I think he can be. I think his ceiling is as high as anyone that we have at the squad in his position. And so, for that, I think everyone, even the people who aren't as gassed on him, everyone should just take a little deep breath and say, you know what? Today has been a good day. Ice cube style.
Oh, here he is. He's happy. Let's talk about my hottest take. My hottest take is everybody just should have chilled the fuck out at the start of the season instead of running the most ridiculous campaign of stress all season. What have we learned? William Saliba needed minutes. He got 4,500 playing at Marseille. And he came back and he said on TV in front of the world, he said, I had a magical experience in Marseille. I've grown in confidence. I'm taking my football more seriously. And I'm coming back to Arsenal. And I'm looking forward to playing in front of these fans. And that's it. He is the most, as I said last year, he will come back the most experienced 21-year-old centre-back in world football. And he has. And I actually think one of the interesting things that I'd heard is that physiologically, he wasn't as strong as some of the young players that we have at Arsenal. And they were a bit concerned that he would pick up injuries in the Premier League. 4,500 minutes, 52 appearances. The boy is robust. I mean, Arsenal will absolutely test that to the max next season, as we always do. Thomas Partey, no injuries in 15 years, and he comes to Arsenal and he just never plays. But we've got a robust defender in there. We've got a Swiss Army knife player, and he's ours. The I think you said it last week, Johnny. The best young centre back in Europe is William Saliba, and we'd never be able to afford him if we hadn't bought him 3 years ago. And hopefully, he'll sign a new deal, get a nice little paid up, and come into the side. So we've got way more to talk about on William Saliba. But we're going to have a little game before we get into it. We're going to do something called famous shirt numbers, and today the famous shirt number. Is number 47. So we go back through history and we find out players that played with a number 47. I know what you're thinking. Who had a 47 shirt? I have no idea. But there are actually some interesting names that I want to run by you. So, Johnny, who's this guy?
It's big and beefy himself, Serge Gnabry. I mean, an absolute surge of emotion has come all over me because he is one of the hottest names linked to Arsenal Football Club at the moment. We know that when he was previously playing at Arsenal, there were certain flaws in his game, which you'd completely expect of a player at that young age. But one of the things with regards to Serge is that previously, I think as Arsenal fans, we used to have this notion that, oh, anyone who leaves Arsenal never, you know, goes up. They always go downhill and... there's not really been any success stories. Well, that certainly changed with Serge Gnabry. He left the club, and obviously he had to move around initially to find the right resting spot, but has gone to Germany and absolutely ripped it up. And there's no question that he's one of the premium talents in the world these days. He's excellent. He's played at every single level. He's won the Champions League. He's bullied Tottenham Hotspur, scored 3 goals against them at their ground, roughing them up.
I thought he scored 4, didn't he?
Four goals, yeah. I've stolen a goal off him, actually. 4 goals, really slapped him up. And anyone who scores 4 goals against Spurs is a friend of the club. But when he's one of your own and he goes home, he starts sending Instagrams and stuff saying North London is red for it. You know, I mean, you're like, listen, the guy's cut from the cloth. He's the real deal. And I tell you, if we could somehow find a way to get him back, him and with that Saliba news, everyone better get out of the way. We're gonna really take no prisoners next year. I'm not fully convinced he will come, but it would require him to basically. We know that he really likes the club, maybe loves the club, and he would literally have to say, even though it's perhaps not the best strategically for my career, it's a choice with my heart rather than my head, and I want to go to the club I love and just be the best player there. And I would love it if he did it. Serge Gnabry, what a player.
Johnny, should we read into it that Real Madrid have ruled out a move for Serge? Does it go in the world pecking order of football? Real Madrid, Arsenal. Is that the obvious fallback for him?
Yeah, I think everyone in world football considers that the pecking order. Real Madrid, Arsenal. Obviously, ever since Ozil went down that line, you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure if we follow the Ozil trajectory, Fenerbahce a third in line, because that's the way you go. But perhaps there's some other lunatics out there that actually think that there might be some other clubs sandwiched in between Arsenal and Real Madrid. What are you talking about, guys? Idiot. Name them. You know what I mean? But, you know, let's just say some of those other... Because the thing is I don't think... If Real Madrid were his first choice to go to, and I'm not saying they were anyway, but if they were, then for a player of Serge Gnabry's ability, we would be far higher up his list of potential clubs than any other player of his ability if they became available, because we have, you know, a special relationship with him. He's played for us before. He's even intimated that he would like to come back to Arsenal. And I also think that one of the things that Serge is particularly attached to is the culture around the club. He grew up here, but he also, you know, when you're seeing him, he's playing for Barca, ripping it up, and he's posing in retro Arsenal top. It's like that, the way that Hector Bellerin connected with a club. You know, it seems like Serge actually feels the Gooner culture. And if he does, and he wants to become the main man back at the Emirates, because you've already won the Champions League, I'm sure you're playing for Germany either way. If you want to a project at this stage of your life of getting the club you love back to where it belongs, there is a way that it could make sense. But I think that we'd have to move very, very seriously if we were to do that. Big club, you know, shine your boots up. Let's go in and we don't mess around. There's no Luis Suarez, here's the money plus a pound kind of thing. Listen, pick a number, Serge, and we'll try to address it in a reasonable fashion. And as long as it's not
Serge
completely
number
bonkers,
14.
Oh, it could
I'm
get
dreaming.
Really out of hand. It could.
I'm dreaming.
And you look at it and you could think that he genuinely could play even as a striker the way that he's developed, just as a flat out. Like, he has that potential. But either way, it would be incredibly exciting for the fan base.
Certainly would. Let's talk about another really exciting player. Who's this, Johnny?
It's not Serge Gnabry, is it? That's Mark Randall, isn't it?
The great Mark Randall.
The great, yeah. I've got to be honest, though, I wouldn't be as excited about Mark Randall coming back.
32 years old, he's still got a couple of seasons in him.
He probably has. Not at Arsenal, though, has he? You know what I mean?
No.
Like, have a great one.
He was a strange one. There was a little bit of hype about him, but didn't really make it. His career is a definition of journeyman. He was at Arsenal between 2006 and 2011. Been to Burnley, Milton Keynes, Rotherham, Chesterfield, Askerley, Barnet, Newport, Crawley, Hemel Hempstead. And he's at a club called Larne right now, where he's played 54 games and has 10 goals. This is maybe an example of what people are talking about. Sometimes it doesn't work out post-Arsenal.
Exactly. But the thing is, you know, it tends to be brought up when you think about players that we've signed into the club and then they go and move on and you go, oh, it won't work out. You know, like for years it was and to be honest, I don't think it really stacked up because a lot of the time, like the Vieiras and Henrys and that, they're all going away and winning things. Cesc Fabregas picking up La Liga's European trophies. Meanwhile, our greatest European achievement remains the Cup Winners' Cup. So most of those big players that went did actually do better, you know, save maybe Robert Perez, who was in and around Villarreal, didn't really do too much at that point. But I think there's a few players who went on to do things. With regards to Mark Randall, he was an academy player. And at that point, the majority of them don't go on to do big things. It's as simple as that. The majority don't. Most of them, like you say, are at best hoping to become solid Premier League talents. And many of them don't even achieve that. It's more like championship level. But fair play to Mark. It sounds like he's had a career, which is more than certainly any of us two in football. And
you can't even get a career in podcasting, Johnny.
You know, we're trying our best, though, to be fair.
Giving it a good crack.
Exactly.
All right. Next player. Who's this, Johnny?
Well, I know because you sent the name over. I didn't even know that Glenn Kamara played for Arsenal. Do you know that? I didn't even know. Yeah.
Do you want another know. Do you want another fact about Glenn Kamara that I didn't know? He's Finnish.
I know. I see that as well.
Glenn
what?
Kamara is from Essex, mate. He's not from Finland. What's going on there?
I thought that was like a... You know when people get hold of a Wikipedia account and start changing it all up? Like,
yeah.
Finnish Glenn Kamara. You're having a laugh, but... There you go. You learn something new every day about Glenn Kamara, don't you?
Linked with a move back to Arsenal because he's been playing so well this year. I think Rangers made it to the semi-final, didn't they? Or did they make it?
They made it to the final. Yeah. Lost on penalties, didn't they?
Yeah. So, well done. Well done, Glenn Kamara, for occupying the same shirt as Serge and the precocious talent of Mark Randall. All right, so Johnny, let's just get back right into the mix. Let's talk Saliba. I don't know how to put Saliba.
Your disrespect to this guy knows no bounds. It's a big day,
word.
And you
That's
can't
big...
even spell his name right. Bill Saliba. Oh dear.
I don't know what I've done there. Anyway, let's move past the name. We bought him for 25 million, or was it 18 million? We spent a lot of money on him when he was 18 years old. He can play centre-back, right-back, or I think he could probably play left back. So we've got a bit of a Swiss Army knife defender here. He's 21 years old still. Just get that in your head. 21 years old. He will be one of the young, he will probably be the youngest centre back in the Premier League that will be getting minutes this season. He's French. His club's Arsenal. Wanted to run you through a few more little bits of detail about Bill Saliba. Here is what he said without the Johnny drama over the top of it. I belong to Arsenal. I still have 2 years left. I will be back. I have played zero matches and I still want to show them my true face and had the chance to play for these fans and this great club. Immediately trying to connect with the fans. I love that. And then this was what he said on his loan. If I were to describe my season in a word, surprising or magical, pick a fucking lane. It was my first full season. I was committed to showing people who I really am. The assessment is positive and I'm happy with my season. When you look at Marseille from the outside, you say it's good, but it's make or break. So I told myself, you're going to this club and you can't joke around. You can't mess around. You have to play to the maximum each match, which I absolutely love. Here are some interesting statistics about this is William Saliba from the website FB Ref. And it's just comparing where he sits in the percentiles across the five leagues in Europe. He's in the 99th percentile for passes attempted, the 98th percentile in Europe for pass completion. Progressive passes, he's 91st percentile. Progressive carries, which is running the ball out of the back, 97th percentile. Dribbles completed, 98th percentile. He's not so good in the air. And I think it's quite difficult to really assess defensive stats because it's very based on the, you know, the style of the team. But needless to say, Johnny, when you look at statistics like this, it gets you excited because he's got a, he's very similar to Ben White in profile of what he does. He's other comparison players, Kimpembe at Paris, Manuel Akanji at Dortmund. I mean, he's living in good company. He's a ball-playing centre-back. He can do everything Ben White can do. He's a little bit younger. He's a little bit taller. How pumped are you at the performance and the attitude of on William Saliba?
So, you mentioned the quote there. First of all, you've explained it very well that he's trying to connect with the fans when he's saying about, you know, the great club. And that's right. And whatever you think about how things have happened, and clearly myself and you, and those are just, you know, two people that divide over this point. We see the whole Saliba going on loan thing differently. I certainly still see it as an unnecessary risk, which we've got away with. But the fact that you were like, oh, what you were worried about, the fact that he needed to come out and have a press conference to inform everyone over his decision tells me that it wasn't just a cut and dry thing. It wasn't a, he can say what he likes about Arsenal own me, but he's clearly talked to someone. I think Arteta would have had to have given him a call and explained his plans. And basically he's had to reaffirm that he's committed to the club. That's what we wanted to hear, but I don't think he would have done that had he not been, you know, it been smoothed over with him. Now, when you talk about the profile of the player, I think what you're talking about is we realise quite quickly we've got a real piss taker on our hands. 99 percentile in terms of passes attempted. He wants to play the ball. Oh, right, is it just going to be crab passing? Is it Mohamed Elneny? No, 98 percentile progressive passes. I can dribble round you. I'm taking the piss all over the field. This is why I'm getting excited. He's not just a guy. People need to start getting their heads around it. Do you know what this I started thinking about earlier? When Patrick Vieira signed from AC Milan, if Patrick come out and went, do you know what? I'm going to go to Arsenal, but you know, AC Milan have asked me to come. Like, if this had happened, and he was a bit wishy-washy, and people at that point would have been like, who is this guy from France? He's done nothing yet. You know, people say that he's quite promising, but he's done nothing yet. And then he comes in and starts taking the club to a different level because he's a different level player. That's what we're dealing with Saliba, as far as I'm concerned. And there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be forgetting the energy that they've been pumping out for the last few years. When Saliba starts ripping it, they're all going to be like, oh, yeah, we've got a player, including you. Including you. And I'm putting your name on blast. You'll be the first player in the queue. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, he's ball playing. Oh, I can't believe. Where did this guy come from? No.
No. He's £25 million, 18-year-old. No one's asking where he came from. We know it's not. Wasn't like, this isn't like unique talent ID. Everyone knows he's good.
Well, we know he's good, but the club have not treated him like he's good. And now we might actually get to see a guy who is above our pay grade right now. That's where he is in terms of talent profile.
He's bigger than Arsenal.
He's not. It's not about bigger than Arsenal, the club. Look at where we are. We've got to have some humility here. We nearly got top four for the first time in, 4 or 5 years, and we couldn't even get it done. We need to get... Because part of it is about re-establishing culture, of course, in terms of this project. But some of it's about getting some sick players through the door. We've been making do with some of these guys. Some of them are not enough. We've been hoping that they would capture enough form, you know, grow as a team, get that camaraderie that would make them the better than the sum of their parts. But if you want to start getting back to the top, there is no cheats. There's no hiding. You're going to have to pepper the team with exceptional talents. And I believe, don't get me wrong, I think we've got some very good defenders. I think Saliba, there's every chance he'll be the best defender at the club by the end of the year. And that should surely start getting people really excited because, I mean, realistically, he may be the... Yeah, I mean, and people have said, look, I'm really going all in on Saliba. I am. I am going all in. I'm saying I think he's a top, top player. But I tell you what, for the people saying Johnny's putting his neck on the line here, I want you to remember and keep that same energy because if I get it right, then I tell you what, I'm gonna need people to start putting some respect on my name right next to William Saliba's. That's how serious I am on it. And overall, I think we should all be excited because I think we have the opportunity to skip a couple of places ahead because we've got our hands finally on a guy who has the ability to take us to the next level in of himself.
Well, no one can say that you haven't champed him. You certainly have. I don't think anybody doubts that he's a talented player. I think just people doubted that he should have been slipped in as our mainstay as a Premier League defender might have been a little bit extreme. I think that there are still some realities that we're going to have to face with William Saliba. I don't think he's got particularly good grasp of the English language. So there's going to be a half a season of adaptation there. I don't think Gabriel...
Gabriel was in France though, right? And I think he speaks a bit French.
He'll be able to... and Arteta speaks French as well. So he won't have a problem communicating, but the language of the dressing room is English. And I think it took Gabriel quite a long time to be able to grasp the English language. So he'll have to adapt to that. He's going to have to adapt to the pace of the league. Ligue 1 is definitely a stronger league. I think there's a fair argument to say that it might be pushing for fourth or third strongest league in Europe at the moment. I don't think there's a lot between Serie A and the French league. And he's going to have to adapt to the team. But there's loads of games for him this year. And I think that that's important. And I think his flexibility of being able to play on the left side, on the right side. I mean, our three-man defence going into next season, I mean, looking pretty lethal. You don't have to have Rob Holding in there now. You've got three ball-playing centre-backs. You've got three players that can move the ball between the lines. Our threat from corners will probably go up. I mean, Saliba's 6'4". That's the tallest of our centre-backs. So it's going to be really exciting to see how he integrates. But I do think that maybe the aura that is built up around William Saliba might be a little bit over the top. He's going to make mistakes this season. And what I hope is that when players see that he is not the greatest centre-back in the world, I hope that we don't get the, oh, he's shit. Or if he goes through a bad run of games, you know, Gabriel and Ben White go through bad runs of games. Gabriel, particularly in the first half of the second half of the season that he had in his first year, wasn't very good. Varane has been pretty average in the Premier League. It's a difficult league to adapt to. But the point is, he's 21 years old. And you know, the biggest thing for William Saliba next season is maintain your fitness, maintain your focus, and then when you get your opportunity, take it. But I'm really excited about what he's done. I mean, if you look at I've cut you out, Joan. I didn't mean to do that. Where are we? Yeah, William Saliba during his first season. This is a tweet from Football 365. 2,800 passes, the most ever of a centre back. I mean, that's outrageous. 260 possessions won, the most in the league. 558 progressive carries, the most in the league. 31 successful dribbles by a centre back, the most in the league. League One Young Player of the Year. I mean, let's be honest, he's had a fantastic season. And I do think the other thing that we should talk about, because somebody was referencing on my blog that loans don't always work out, and obviously they don't. But Arsenal have gone from being very lacking in strategy when it comes to loan moves to very pro strategy. And I think Ben Knapper deserves a lot of credit here. I think the clubs that were offered up to Saliba were Newcastle prior to getting Eddie Howe as a manager. I mean, I think Newcastle would have been a great option with Eddie Howe there at the start of the season. I'm still shocked that Brighton didn't come in for him. I think that would have been a good move. And Marseille. But Marseille play a high-pressing game. You have to stand up. There's a fierce coach there. Sampaoli is one of the biggest lunatics in the game. And the difference between Serge Gnabry playing for Arsenal and not was that Arsene Wenger sent Serge Gnabry on loan to West Brom, who don't play a game that suits him at all. No wonder he failed, whereas William Saliba gets put in a system that suits his game and helped iron out some of the problems or the concerns that Arsenal might have had about, you know, lacking intensity in certain areas. I think he's worked on his aerial abilities this season and his overall concentration. So big shout out to Ben Knapper for doing a good job there.
Well, I disagree here. So we know, one of the things we know around the whole loan thing was we asked him to go on loan to Premier League clubs. And this is where some of the anxiety around whether or not he'd return. Because he said, listen, I thought I was coming to... But if you wanted to play in the Premier League, let me play for Arsenal. You own me as a club. And I'm not just going to sign for random people to be right for you. I've just lost my mum. There's a lot of issues going on. And he was like, I'm going to go back to where I feel comfortable. And he went to Marseille. The fact that he has been a success at Marseille is down to William Saliba, not down to Arsenal. I don't think Arsenal knew where he was going. At the end of the day, William Saliba picked his club as much as anyone else did. And he was the one who said he wanted to go back to France. Now, I think if you listen to the quote, let's not try and read too far into it. Listen to what he's actually said. He said, I knew this opportunity to come to Marseille was not a mess around year. I had to be really, you know, serious and focused. And this is what I mean. For all these people that say that his current, you know, behaviour or whatever has been indicative of a bit of a diva or whatever, I find it so weird.
Johnny, who says he's a diva? I've never heard anyone call him a diva.
There's people who hit me up on Twitter who are like, it seems like he's got a bad attitude. I've seen 3 tweets today at me saying it seems like he's got a bad attitude because of the way he's talked. I find it mind-boggling. I certainly don't think he's got a bad attitude. Let me just draw back on a couple of things. Number one, you know, you were very right when you said that anyone who's sitting there thinking that because of what I'm saying or anyone else who's a bit of a Saliba ultra is in any way suggesting that Saliba might come in and be, you know, kind of faultless throughout the whole next season. I'm not saying that. He is a young centre-half. He will still make mistakes. I was talking to my friend earlier on Twitter and I said, listen, he was like, you know, you're pretending he's the finished article. And I said, no, I'm not. This guy, William Saliba, is not the finished article, but he is the real deal. And he will improve at a rate because I think he's actually got that a bit of that special sauce to be a top, top player. I think he will be able to rise, right, like his tide will rise way quicker than the stumbling blocks that youth provides. And I think that whilst he will make mistakes and there'll be some a period of assimilation, I think everyone will know that certainly for the first half of the season, you've got to cut him some slack. There will be the occasional blip and error, but he's shown throughout his young career that he can adapt quickly. quickly to these situations. And those stats that you put up there, that's not like, oh, he's promising. That is phenom style numbers. Like, he's a trendsetter. He's doing things. That CV for what he's put together that year is frightening. There's not going to be many. The whole point is, when these players come around, they usually come around not unannounced, they are announced. People knew that Vincent Kompany was a nutter. They knew that Van Dijk was looking a bit saucy early days. No one thought that they were quite ready enough, you know, until it's too late and then you can't sign them anymore. Like at Southampton, they took a punt on Van Dijk from Celtic. He already looked like a good player. And then it's like, oh, maybe Arsenal might be able to nick him off Southampton. No, too late. He's £80 million now and he's only going one place.
Johnny, just before we jump just on that point, Arsenal had an opportunity to sign Van Dijk from Celtic and Arsene Wenger was convinced that I think it was Cal Chambers was the better option. That's the story. that sums up the end of the Wenger era, doesn't it? Perfectly.
Remains to be unseen who's going to get onto greater heights, Callum Chambers or Van Dijk. That story is not yet written.
No.
But Virgil has a little bit of a lead at the moment. So we wish you all the best, Callum, in hounding down Virgil. But look, you know, overall, what I'd like to do is start getting beyond. And by the way, this is all prefaced with the fact that he does end up staying at Arsenal and there's no hidden twists and turns. I'm taking him at his word that he's staying and the club's not going to pull any stupid nonsense. Oh, he didn't sign, so we try and move him on. We need him to play next season, no questions asked. And if he does, I think that we can all put to bed whatever side you were on the whole loan move and how he was treated, it's gone. And we all get behind this guy because if the likes of myself and others who back him are right, he's going to be awesome. And I'm sure that anyone who's not quite as high as him will be happy to be proved wrong on that front.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I also don't think you should take credit away from Ben Napper on getting together the clubs to give him a choice of where to go to develop. I think that that's a very specialised skill that requires a lot of thoughtful decision making. I did. I think, and to your point, it's like everybody picks sides when it comes to Arsenal. And people carry these weird vendettas through. It's like I've still got people complaining to me about Ben White's transfer fee and that he shouldn't have been signed. It's like, we need to get over this. You know, need to let loose. Ben White is a top player. Did he have a great end to the season? No, but he is a top player. He's an England international in an England side that gets into semi-finals of World Cups and finals of European Championships. He is top, top talent. William Saliba could have a really rough opening 3 months of the season. But that doesn't mean that your first instinct is to pile on to somebody that said he was going to be good. It just means that, you know, players sometimes take a little bit longer to develop and we should be behind these young players. You know, this is a great time to be an Arsenal fan. And I would much rather spend less time arguing over who was right or wrong on a player based on moments and like try and look at the season more holistically. I do think that the one point of friction that is potentially coming, William Saliba has 2 years left on his deal. And if he doesn't sign a deal, he does become a bit of a story next season. And then you are caught between a rock and a hard place because if you take him into his last year of his deal, you're not going to get that much money. I don't even know what the counterpoint to that is. It's like, if he doesn't want to sign a new deal, what do you do? Does he say, listen, you got to play me before I sign a new deal, because I saw what happened to Eddie Nketiah last season and yes, you didn't play him. Or do Arsenal sell him? I don't know. I mean, like, I want to see him at Arsenal. And I think the benefits outweigh the negatives here. I think we should keep him regardless of whether he signs a deal and, you know, get him attached to the club. I know that there's risk involved in that, but there are a lot of players that are getting into the last year of their deal these days. I mean, it feels like it's just part of doing business. And who's going to, like, is someone coming up with 50 million for William Saliba this summer? I'm unsure about that. I'm unsure, but
I 100% agree with you. I think that we shouldn't be looking at any money. the only way you even look at the numbers is if he says he's not signing and someone offers us 50 million plus. I still wouldn't take the money anyway. I think that we are moving into a situation where the money doesn't mean anything if you can't get access to a suitable replacement. You know, what are you going to do? Sign another promising youngster who you have to put out on loan, who then might become annoyed and not want to come back. At some point, you've got to bite the bullet. We're watching all of these guys bring their, you know, contracts down to the end. At the end of the day, the only way he signs and the only way we potentially have a era-defining centre-half is if we make him fall in love with the club, as you said, get that affiliation back with the club and get him feeling good playing his best football at Arsenal, because it benefits everyone. And at that point, I think there's no reason why he wouldn't sign. But right now, why in the world would he sign when there's been no, you know, it hasn't been proved to him that he's going to play next year. It could all be smoke and mirrors. So he's going to need to see some proof in the pudding in terms of his access to playing time, which I think would be mad not to give him, you know, as good a go as any of the other two centre-halves that we have in Ben White and Gabriel. And if he is as good as we hope he is, he'll be playing more games than he's not. And hopefully, with the love that he feels from the Gooners out there, he'll become entrenched in Arsenal folklore after he's done a decade at the club winning it all.
Love that. Love that positivity. Okay, so let's move on to another topic, because I think we've laid to rest the William Saliba thing. Let's hope he signs a new deal and let's hope he has a fantastic new season because he deserves it. We are going to talk about some hot rumours. I've just been watching the Ukraine-Wales game. They dropped out to a deflected Gareth Bale free kick. Absolutely horrendous way to go out of a World Cup. And I kind of hope that we'd see Ukraine there this year for obvious reasons. But I don't even know where the link has come from, but Mr. Zinchenko is on the radar, apparently. He's a left back, but you know he can drop into central midfield. He's more of a build-up player than a power and pace Kieran Tierney type left back. He's extremely flexible. Plays left back, left midfield, centre midfield. He plays where he wants because he's absolutely top quality. He's a Ukrainian. His club's Manchester City. Transfer marked the website rate him at about £25 million. Johnny, this is a guy that is top class. He's played for Manchester City for a while. He's just won the Premier League. He only racked up 1,000 minutes in the Premier League this season, 12 appearances. He's 25 years old. Does there come a point in your career where you have to make the step up and you have to be getting minutes? Does he really want to deputise forever at Manchester City? I mean, there's clearly no way that he's going to own that left-back position. What do you think about the links to Zinchenko, and should he come back home to Mikel Arteta's loving arms?
Bring him home, bring him home. Yeah, I was sharing that Alfie Bo little clip. I thought that was for Saliba, obviously. But I tell you what, if he's got Zinchenko under his arm as well, when he wants to come home, bring him in as well. Because, look, the thing is you can see why, and I think Zinchenko's in a very similar boat to Gabriel Jesus on that front, why they could see Arsenal as being an attractive new home for them. And that is that, considering they've won everything at City, barring the Champions League anyway, but they've both, you know, got a couple of Premier League winners' medals at least, FA Cup medals and whatnot, they are in a position where they're both at a similar age. I think they're both 25, actually, and certainly similar stages of their career, where, as you said, Pete, it's time to not just be part of the ensemble anymore. You want a leading part, because it's all well and good. When I'm not an ex-player, you know, even though I did have a game yesterday and I played well. So, you know, you tell me whether I could have made it. But
you do the math.
I'd imagine if I was an ex-player and I was looking back at it, half of it is I'd look back at the medals that I'd won, because I really do think that is the, you know, the real currency of your achievement levels during your career. But also, I'd look back at the periods where I was the main man at my team. Because even if I couldn't make it in the, as the main man at a team that won everything, I would want the opportunity to be the best I could be in terms of an active starting participant in a team. And at the end of the day, not everyone can be Messi or Ronaldo ripping it up at the best clubs. Sometimes you have to be the best player at a club just below that tier. And that's what Arsenal provides these guys with an opportunity to kind of prove. And I think that you mentioned it on the Patreon pod that you guys done. And you basically said that you don't think that Zinchenko comes in to play squad player at Arsenal. And I couldn't agree more. He's not coming in, if he does come to us, with anything other than a guarantee that he'll either be our first choice left back, or he would be, you know, given a situation where it's you and Tierney, there are no number ones, it will be done on merit. And I think that he might take that situation, especially considering Kieran Tierney's injury record. Zinchenko's probably thinking, I'm not even going to be having to play that well to get the majority of the games this year because Kieran's going to break again. So I think that we have to look at this position very seriously, and that's why I'm quite interested in this move, because at this stage, even Kieran Tierney's biggest fans, and I do like him, I really like the player a lot, but we know that we can't rely upon him. No one can kid themselves anymore. He breaks down more than an old Ford Escort, and at this stage, we need reliability. We need reliability. We need someone who's going to play, you know, because there's that American NFL kind of adage where it's like, I always hear on sports TV, which is the greatest ability is reliability and availability, I should say. And we just, you know, even if you think that Kieran Tierney's ceiling when he plays is higher than Zinchenko's, it's irrelevant if we can't get him on the pitch. So for me, Zinchenko's shown that there is no big drop. You can win a league with Zinchenko because he's played a considerable amount of games in league-winning teams. So I think that it would be a great sign-in, and it would shore up a position where we've shown real vulnerability due to Tierney's injury issues. And I think that we, if we could get that job done, obviously Nuno Tavares will be seeing the back of that guy. I don't know where he's going to be going. But Zinchenko, you know, I would even give him assurances that he'd be starting. It's that serious.
I like the idea of investing in the left back position, because it's the most likely position that's going to have 30-35 games available next season. And I think that if Tomiyasu gets injured next year, Ben White can play right back to a high standard. Saliba can play right back to a high standard. I honestly think the best bet for Arsenal is to say, Ainsley, you are not doing well on these loans. Just come and be a right back and we will reboot your career. You know, you'll get to play at the club that you love. You'll be a prestige player. And you will also get lots of games because Tomiyasu's calf injuries have been problematic for a long time. But yeah. The interesting thing about Zinchenko, like watching him pull strings today for Ukraine, dropping into midfield, literally running the show. And I know it's only against Wales, but Ukraine aren't exactly a premier international side. I think Zinchenko in midfield for Arsenal is also a tantalising prospect. I mean, obviously world-class controlling the ball. He makes great decisions. He's got a lot more mobility than a Granit Xhaka has. And he's got age on his side. So it would be a really, really interesting move for Arsenal. He's only got 2 years left on his deal. We could just run you through some of the stats. This is, you know, this was his season this year. He played a little bit more in the Champions League, making 8 appearances with 501 minutes. But the Premier League, like, he got 4 assists in 15 games and he played 1,000 minutes. But 1,800 minutes for a 25-year-old is not a lot when you consider William Saliba's dropping 4,500 at Marseille. And this is the FB ref graph. Again, look, it's just all green, which means that he's high percentile. He's in the 98th percentile for passes attempted, pass completion rate 88%, which is really, really high. Progressive passes, he's in the 99th percentile for the league. Progressive carries 99th percentile. progressive passes, 83rd percentile. I mean, the player literally has everything. And he's also pretty decent in the air in the 82nd percentile, which I think he's quite short. I thought he was about 5'7", 5'8". But regardless, top quality player, players that he's similar to in the league, Andy Robertson, João Cancelo, Jordi Alba, Thomas Meunier, Jesus Navas, Trent. I mean,
when you mentioned that, Pete, when you were talking about his ability to potentially play in centre mid as well, and somewhat doing it so for his international team, the name that popped into my head was David Alaba. You know, because we've seen that that guy can do it, and obviously he's just busy winning things again, and has shown himself to be an absolute top player of this era. And I think that, yeah, having players, we've seen with Trent Alexander-Arnold, a guy who is a right back, but realistically is just like the best player on the pitch most weeks. And having that much ability from fullback can help you so much. And, you know, the more I think about the move, if we can get this done, I am all for it. Get him in. But I don't want to be signing him as a centre mid. I want to be signing him as a left back. And that is complete, you know, break in case of emergency situation in midfield. And I'd much rather see, you know, a very cheap deal done for Youri Tielemans, who we may well be getting onto, but is at the short end of his contract. So we should be getting a reduction on. If we got Zinchenko, Tielemans, Saliba coming back, top striker, I tell you what, it could be one of them transfer windows, guys. Very exciting stuff.
Very exciting stuff indeed. All right, so I think it's a big thumbs up for... Johnny's got lights. I think it's a big thumbs up for Zinchenko. I don't know how realistic the rumours are. I think this is just one that the fans would like to see, but you'd hope that Mikel Arteta is looking at a player like this, because that would be extremely exciting. Let's move on to another player that is getting me pretty excited. He's a striker. He's Italian. And he is not in my deck. Where have you gone? Okay, so maybe he's not in this slide deck for some reason. I want to talk about Scamacca, Johnny. The Italian striker that's being linked with Arsenal. So let's talk about, before we get into the Italian striker, there are two players that have been linked hard with Arsenal. Gabriel Jesus, because he wants out at Manchester City. There's no pathway forward for him with Haaland going there. Youri Tielemans, £25 million. Players are talking about him at the training ground, which means agents are talking about him, which means there is smoke where that fire is. But what we haven't talked about is the way that we're going to distribute the money for players this year. Because if there's 150 million to spend, maybe the 55 million is going on a wide player, a wide forward that is Gabriel Jesus. And maybe that has reduced the amount of money that we're going to spend on a striker. And all the talk in Italy, a publication called Repubblica is saying that Arsenal have come with an important offer of 35 million euros, with the Italian club wanting to go up to 40 million euros. So could we be seeing a situation where Arsenal are shuffling the pack money-wise? They want two forwards this window, and Scamacca, who's 6'4", looks like a sort of like a Vlahovic light, 23 years old, so he fits the profile. Isn't a tier one sort of Osimhen type striker, but he's definitely in the tier two. You know, three seasons of elite level experience, two seasons in Serie A, scored 8 goals two seasons prior. He scored 16 in Serie A this season for Sassuolo. Johnny, what do you think of Scamacca?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, cards on the table. I know little more about Scamacca than watching highlight reels, as I'm sure most of us have. Unless you're a big Serie A aficionado, you probably wouldn't have heard too much about him. So, for what, you know, for what it's worth, the YouTube highlight reels look good. And I think that if we were to try and profile him as a player, it seems a lot like an Olivier Giroud signing. It's a guy who's at a, you know, if we talk about the tiers of clubs that we could be signing from, Gabriel Jesus is clearly a tier of club in the current world that are above us, categorically above us in Manchester City. But Sassuolo are a step down than us. And so it's clear that a player like him would come to Arsenal, or you could understand him coming to Arsenal for the prestige, for the chance to play for a European giant, because we still are one of them, and for him to make his name. It's interesting when you see, when you talk about the potential to sign a couple of strikers and whether this guy would be a cheaper option and come in tandem, because one of the things that has worried me about Gabriel Jesus potentially coming in is that him and Eddie Nketiah, who we know is remaining at the club, are quite similar in terms of their playing styles, at least. And if we are looking for a plan B, I'm not sure you're going to get it out of Eddie when you've been playing Jesus. And so having a guy who could offer something different physically is an immediate way of giving us a different option. So I'm happy with our manager, scouting network, whatever, to, decide on who they want as a striker. I think there are clear options. All the names that we talk about, Osimhen, Gabriel Jesus, this guy, it was obviously Vlahovic before, and Tammy Abraham, they all seem like good options that could be successful at Arsenal. None of them, I don't think, are bankers. But what I need the club to do, or what I want them to do, is act with decisiveness to feel like they've, with some of the players we had last year, where they've scouted these guys potentially with a further reaching net than most average fans would have. And they've said, I think this player's going to work, like a Tomiyasu. And if you've got the striking equivalent of a Tomiyasu coming in, I'm all in for it. I think there are plenty of strikers who could come in and be really successful at Arsenal. But I do definitely want to see some options being provided by the players that are coming through the door. But, that being said, on that point, if Arteta or whoever said categorically, I want Jesus, he is going to be the guy, then I'm happy to, to concede to that and say, look, let's get behind who's coming in. I think as long as we don't end up with players that it feels like we didn't actually want, like, identify the player you want, act decisively and go and get them. And I think that it will energise the whole fan base and we can get behind the team and the squad confident, feeling like we've at least put our best foot forward,
Yeah, I agree with that. I really think that we need to sign a striker this summer that has Olivier Giroud-like qualities with a bit of pace. The FB ref, website that I've been referencing all day, the strikers that they say he's most similar to, Tammy Abraham, Arnautovic, Jamie Vardy, Aubameyang, Osimhen. I mean, that's pretty decent company for a young player. And it's just interesting. It's like the lower down the sort of tiers you go with strikers, the higher the risk. I mean, we don't literally want an Olivier Giroud. We want somebody that's got the plus ups. Olivier Giroud lacked the pace to make us a title challenger, a title challenging team. And I know that he's done well post Arsenal, but he was never really a replacement for Robin Van Persie. But what I like about this player, he's got all of the elements that we've lacked. He's got the ability to occupy defenders. He's rangy. He's difficult to mark. He's got one of the fiercest strikes of a ball that I've ever seen. I mean, it's not often that you literally pick out ball striking ability, but he really lashes at it. He's starting for the Italian national team at the moment. So obviously Roberto Mancini rates him. And I think it would just be a really shrewd bit of business. And then if you say, okay, well, you're signing Gabriel Jesus, you're signing this Scamacca guy, then you start to look like you've got, you're building out quite a complete squad. So I'm quite excited about the prospect of doing something a little bit different in the striking department. And if you can get this guy for 35 million versus having to spend 75, 80 to get Tammy back to England, and you get Gabriel Jesus that can play all across the front line, you're building a lot of flexibility into the squad and you are adding quality. And I think that that's the key to this summer, not adding too much potential, but adding actual real quality that can make a difference for us moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm on board with that big time. And just as a final little point on Olivier Giroud, I think that, and understandably, I think that Giroud, you know, felt like a drop down on Robin Van Persie, because guess what? He was. You know, it's very hard to be Robin Van Persie. That guy was absolutely disgusting. And I think that we were perhaps a little too spoilt at that point. We were used to having world-class strikers coming in, just bullying people. And so when Giroud didn't have the ability to do it all on his own, we kind of took him for granted a little bit. But right now, he's better than, you know, he's better than anything we've got at the club at the moment. And probably have had for at least 6 months and longer if you count a disaffected Aubameyang. Obviously, Aubameyang has a much higher potential when he's engaged. But I think we now look back, is the point I'm making, at Giroud and can appreciate what he actually done for us. We were obviously winning cups whilst he was there, and he was never as bad as perhaps any of us thought, because he was able to get it done. He was just limited in certain fronts, but that didn't stop him being a top player for us.
Agree. Yeah. It, you know, we would kill for him in the side that we've got right now. We would absolutely kill for him. Okay. All right. So let's, we've done an hour and 5 minutes. Let's get into the final part of the show. We're going to talk winners and losers of the week. We need like a little jingle or something to ease us into the winners and losers of the week. Johnny, who is your winner this week? Who is your winner?
Well, first of all, I'd say myself and the rest of the Saliba Ultras. Jockey,
the Saliba Ultras.
Like, yeah, congratulations, guys. We got there, you know. I feel like, you know, that press conference, we got him. We got our man. And I feel like one of the things that gave me the most anxiety out of the way that our season ended miserably was how it may impact on keeping Big Bill. And the fact that we've managed to get through it is a real positive. And I think that apart from that, I think that Arteta is the biggest winner. Because whatever way you look at it, I personally think that it was handled poorly. And I think Arteta had his fingerprints over the way that it was handled. But either way, as some people are saying it now, I'm not sure, I'm not in agreement with them. But they're like, oh, well, the loan things worked out perfectly. I don't know what anyone was worried about. This was exactly how it was always going to go. I don't think it was a sure thing that he was going to stay. I think that Arteta somewhat got away with poor man management of the player initially. I know you and maybe some others don't agree with that. That's fine. But either way, I think that he has now been we're now going to get to a situation where we can put this to bed and Arteta gets his hands on a player without necessarily having to have to step down too much. And he gets his hands on a player who's going to really be able to transform the way that the team play and will give Arteta so many options tactically with what he offers in terms of his player profile. So, you know, I'll say Arteta, I think, was a big winner this weekend.
Oh, all right. My winner, my big winner is going to be Ben Napper. I think the Arsenal loan system has been completely transformed top to bottom at Arsenal. And this isn't just about William Saliba having a good loan. I think Saliba would have had a good loan wherever he went. This is about the young right back that I think they put out at Lincoln. This is Daniel Ballard going to Millwall and having a fantastic season. Most of our players that go out on loan now develop and move forward. And even if they don't necessarily slip into the first team, we're now getting to the point where Daniel Ballard could get sold for decent money this summer. Even if it's 5 million, that's 5 million on somebody that has just come through the youth ranks. So I think that he's my winner this week. All right, now we move on to the loser. Who is loser of the week, Johnny?
That's an interesting one. To be fair, I think For me, loser of the week in terms of Arsenal will be Matteo Guendouzi, because I actually have heard a few gooners this week suggesting that we should bring him back, try and find a way. I don't know if Marseille have got the funds to be able to cover the fee that was established. But either way, or there was a transfer ban, I should say. But either way, I don't really agree with that. I'm happy to have backed Arteta's judgment with regards to Guendouzi. I think he's been to enough clubs to show that there were some, in my opinion, attitude issues that made him problematic. That I don't think that was the case with Saliba, which was one of the reasons why it caused a different kind of ire. But overall, there was a sense that Matteo, because it didn't work out with Arsenal, was trying to, you know, put his arm around Saliba and go, why don't you stay, mate? Why don't you look at us? We're both playing for France now. And, you know, when the dust settles and Saliba said he's coming back now and he gets to play at Arsenal, Matteo, you can have a go in the Champions League with Marseille. You can be getting knocked out, mate, in the group stages. That's what it's about. You've had your best season for, you know, for a long time. I don't think you'll have a season like that again. But that's going to be your level if that's what you want to continue doing. Whereas Saliba gets a chance to come back. And if we get back in the Champions League, I think that if we do it in the way that I expect we would have to next year, because with the renewed competitive nature of these clubs bouncing back, United, Newcastle's resurgence, I think that we would have had to have really evolved to be able to achieve that goal this year. And in which case, you're looking at it and you're going, well, Arsenal are back in the Champions League if we get there. And they look quality. They've got loads of good young players who are coming to fruition. And even if Guendouzi doesn't say it, he'll look at himself in the mirror one day and go, I really fucked that up, didn't I? Do you know what I mean? And I think when he's alone with his thoughts, he'll regret it. And I think that he'll probably get that first pang of feeling a bit like he's a loser now that Saliba's told him he's leaving him all alone.
That's an interesting one. And people always come back to it with Guendouzi, and it's like, they're like, well, look at what he did this season. It's like, yeah, but look at his history. At every single club, with every single manager, there is always a problem. Even his apology tour loan when he went to Berlin, they were like, he's an animal. It's just out of control. And I think that the biggest shock to his system was last summer when he was hawking himself around Europe. And even Unai Emery was like, no, sorry, mate. He got picked up. I mean, he's like a really, really low fee in the end for someone that delivered a massive output. And people will say, why can't he come back to Arsenal? I think sometimes you can damage your reputation so much in a workplace that there's just no way back. He was pissing off the staff. He was pissing off all of the other players. And I think that's a big thing that people don't take into account. Other players didn't like what he was all about, thought he was more focused on other things like, you know, the Instagram model lifestyle. And he's gone out to Marseille this season. They've got themselves technically a bargain if he can maintain this behavior. But there's still a lot to do. He's still got to rehabilitate himself, because no one's going to go to Marseille with £40 million to buy a player that could turn into a complete lunatic next season. So, yeah, I suspect that, you know, Matteo was very aligned with players like Mesut Ozil, and that Mesut Ozil is going to be my loser of the week, because nobody gets more chances with their super fans than Mesut Ozil. But Mesut Ozil went to Fenerbahce, a much easier league, playing in his, the nation which I think that he would almost call his own after the treatment that he had in Germany. And all he had to do was just play at 75% of his level, and he would have absolutely dominated that league. Just show up to training, put in a little bit of effort, and just try and prove to everybody that Arsenal made a big mistake. And he's been suspended. Got suspended by the last manager at Fenerbahce. The new manager has come in and said, I intend to continue the path of Mesut Ozil that the last manager had. He's not in my plans. And now Mesut Ozil's coming out and he's saying, I didn't take any money from Fenerbahce for the first 6 months. Yeah, that's because Arsenal were paying you $350,000 a week. And he said, I'm going to see out my deal. Half of the fan base at Fenerbahce want him out. Half of them think he's being mistreated. At some point, you have to say, I'm just not doing this football thing right. And just retire. Stop taking the money of all of these clubs. Just retire. bow out gracefully and go and run your coffee brand or go and do NFTs for Fortnite or like luxury wearables in the digital space. Do anything apart from football, because clearly you're not interested and you cause so much pain for fans that know how much talent you've got and you just don't deliver it. So Mesut Ozil, Mr. Trust the Process, is my loser of the week. And also notable that the only player that didn't make it from Arsenal at Marseille this season, Kolasinac, who after 6 months is out of Sampaoli's plans. So a good week for Mikel Arteta and his character judgment.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, it kind of speaks for itself sometimes. And yeah, you're right. Maybe Mesut is doing some self-reflection. And in the little Fortnite skit that runs continuously in his own, you know, consciousness, there's a Fortnite player doing a loser dance in front of him, bouncing from one leg to the other. And he's realised, yes, he is the loser. And Mesut, who knows, it might be time to hang it up, mate.
Very sad way to end your career, to hit such highs at around 24, 25 years old and then just completely fall out of love with the game. I mean, it's a shame, but I guess it's just a job to some people. All right, Johnny, tell people where that they can get more exclusive content from this podcast before we leave.
Well, guys, if you don't know by now, we have Patreons and we are doing, a few exclusive strands on there, not least my top 25 players of the last 25 years at Arsenal. I'll be doing numbers 20 to 16. That's on Tuesday. That'll be getting released. And all you have to do is go to patreon.com/thearsenalopinion. Certainly through the summer, any contribution is much appreciated and gets you access to the content. As we say, we appreciate if you are supporting us. And apart from that, you can find me at @ijohnnycochrane on all my socials as well, Pete.
That is absolutely lovely. Let's get those socials up right now. Okay, so if you are listening to this on a podcast, get into iTunes or Spotify and give us a lovely 5-star review to help with our podcast SEO. If you want to sign up to the Patreon, go to patreon.com, type The Arsenal Opinion. Donate whatever you like. We know that times are tough at the moment. Any contribution would be welcome. There will be a lot of fun, exclusive content on there. And Johnny will be adding a little bit more this week. And if you just like the podcast, we're going to be here all summer. We're going to be doing a transfer roundup every Sunday. Hopefully next Sundays we'll have a little bit of news maybe on a transfer coming into the club. I will be in New York. I'll be hanging out with man like Matt Candela. So Johnny will be zooming you in. And on that note, I will say ciao for now.
Podcast Network.